Hey everybody, welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast, episode 41. I am co-host Des Dolly, and this is...
Ben Waller.
Hey Ben Waller, how you doing?
Good, man.
What are you doing here?
Freddie and Matt aren't here, so now I'm here.
And I'm very gracious for that. That's very precise. Where's Matt and Freddie? Where are they?
VGHS season 3, I believe.
Oh, that's right, season 3, because you guys want that, so we're out doing it. Matt and Freddie are hunkered down in a bunker somewhere, making some rad video game action stuff that's going to be coming at you real soon. But until then, today's podcast, we got a couple of really rad dudes stopping by, Justin Johnson and Eric Beck, the Indie Moguls.
Currently, the YouTube channel, The Indie Machines.
The Indie Machines. You guys might remember them from Backyard Effects. They're the guys that taught us how to make, DIY camera equipment and whatnot for super cheap. They get into all these really rad things today. They got a lot of projects going on. They're involved in the RoboCop remake.
They got a Kickstarter launching right now.
It's live, I believe, already. It's up right now. It just went live today. So check out their Kickstarter. They get into all the details in just a second. We'll get into all that in a few.
But before that.
Before that.
We should talk about websites.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because the show has a brand new sponsor, Squarespace.com, that helps you build your own website. Did you know this?
No way.
Yeah. It's incredible. Squarespace.com is the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store.
Okay. Yes, but that's expensive, right?
Building a website. I'm sure some people charge a lot of money, but not Squarespace. Here's the cool thing about Squarespace, and here's why we're happy to talk about Squarespace today. You can go to Squarespace, right? Having no prior knowledge of how to build a website, but you want one. You want a portfolio. You want an online store. You got some sweet swag you want to sell. You go to Squarespace, and it's as easy as dragging and dropping. They got pre-made templates for you to start with. And then they have over-the-phone and online tech support. They will literally hold your hand and, well, not literally. That'd be kind of cool, though, if they could hold your hand while you're building a website. I don't think you need that much help. They will figuratively hold your hand through the website creation process, and it's free. You don't have to pay a dime. There's no credit card required. You can build it all right here, right now, for nothing. And then, and only then, if you love it, and Ben, you decide you want to keep this really rad website that you just built, then you pay, all right? You get 10% off your first purchase if you use the promo code ROCKETJUMP. So we got you hooked up today.
10% off what, though? I mean, that's got to be like 30 bucks a month.
No, it's, believe it or not, Squarespace monthly fee is only $8, plus the discount on top of that, and they're going to kick in a free domain for the first year if you sign up today.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's cheaper than a trip or two to Starbucks, you know? You can go build a website, a really rad site right now, and get it hooked up. We're really proud to present Squarespace. We're very pleased that they're a sponsor of the podcast, and we think it's a really rad site that you guys should go check out.
You know what else is a rad site?
Netflix.
Exactly.
You knew we were going there, didn't you? This isn't the first time we brought up Netflix. Why don't you have Netflix? What are you waiting for? Ben, you have Netflix.
Yeah.
And what do? We talk about all the shows we just watched on Netflix yesterday.
Yeah.
Because everything's on there.
I wouldn't be friends with these guys if I couldn't talk about movies.
Almost everything. I'm not going to bullshit you. Almost everything's on Netflix, right? But all the really good stuff is. They got the new season of Breaking Bad on there.
Okay, but did they have Jean-Claude Van Damme movies?
And Arnold Schwarzenegger movies.
Okay, but what about Jet Li movies?
And Sylvester Stallone movies? All the raddest of movies are on Netflix. And... you want free stuff? We got free stuff. You go to netflix.com/rocketjump and you get free 30 days today. You can watch anything and everything you want. All the raddest of stuffs on Netflix. You go get it right now, Ben.
Right now?
Yeah, of course right now. Why would I say right now if I didn't mean right now?
Let's get this podcast started so we can go watch Netflix.
All right, let's get this podcast started. Go to netflix.com/rocketjump. One last quick thing. Do not forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Don't forget to check out our other show, To the Future. It's great, right?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Logan and Ben are hilarious. Go check out To the Future. Subscribe on iTunes. Let's give it a go. Face Rocker Podcast, episode 41. Without further ado, Justin Johnson and Eric Beck, the Indie Moguls. Alex, let's blow it up.
Welcome to yet another Face Rocker Podcast, sitting here with my co-host, Des Dolly.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt Arnold.
How's it going also?
And today, we are sitting down with a couple guys who may be familiar with people who are familiar with our work, or at least the indie filmmaker crowd. We're sitting with Justin Johnson and Eric Beck.
Hello.
Good to be.
How's it going, guys?
Good to be here. Great.
co-creators, Indie Mogul, and now you guys are running the Indie Machines YouTube channel. Is that correct?
It is correct. Very correct, sir.
Awesome. And actually, one of your do-it-yourself like fig rig tutorial was quite a hit with our crowd.
Because
people have seen us running around with our steering wheel fig rig thing. It looks like a steering wheel. It's called the Manfrotto fig rig. It's a little bit ridiculously expensive, and you can get the exact same result with what turns out to be, what, $30 of PVC pipe and some elbow grease?
Yep. Some black tape.
Yeah, some black tape.
Some black tape.
That's how you make everything look pro.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys never actually go over that step as much as you should, which is just take some black matte spray paint, and then just you're done. It's, all of a sudden, this thing is pro. It's PVC pipe.
It's Batman's at that point. It becomes Batman's. Oh,
yeah. It's tactical. It's tactical at that point.
Yeah.
Anyway, how you got? So real quick, because we had a conversation before we got into this, I wanted to ask because we were talking about like vehicle hand signals and stuff like that. Have you guys ever gotten a rental car that's like the controls for the handicap? So it's like all hand controls for acceleration and brake.
How do you get those?
I didn't know that was a thing.
You can request them when you go to a car rental place.
Have you done this?
No, I've seen them though, and I've ridden in one. It's weird. It's like. Because I always think, I don't know, this is me. I sometimes think about like if you were in a car and you could have like mech controls, like if you had two things that could go forward, like a full on like
like tank controls, basically.
Like tank controls.
You want a
car.
Tank. You want to rent a tank.
Well, if you had a van, right? Like if you guys got a van, tank controls, that sounds like the way to go.
Yeah. No, that would be the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Is that what they're like? Like handicapped people, is that even the right term? Are using tank controls on the freeways? That sounds terrifying.
All tank drivers are handicapped.
That's the way.
When you get injured in the army, they just put you in a tank.
It's the
army wheelchair. Oh my gosh.
Just kidding.
Looks like you got a wheelchair now, and then you just get a tank.
Let's slowly back away from this line of conversation.
Back completely.
With our hands up. Anyway, so real quick, one thing that you guys have done recently that we had just seen in the office was the RoboCop remake. And we were going through it, and it was, you know, to be honest, the whole thing is like, it's hit or miss, but there's a lot of hits in there. And one of the hits was what you guys were doing with the miniatures and the heads. If you guys haven't seen it, there was tell us a story about what this RoboCop remake was and just how did you get involved and all that.
Yeah, sure. It's actually the second remake that our friend Dave Seeger headed up. He's like a big person in the Channel 101 community.
Yeah.
And just the idea is to ruin RoboCop before Hollywood gets a chance. and so that's why it's called our RoboCop remake. And, you know, we were one of the filmmakers that got to make this scene. And it was just tons of fun.
Yeah, just an awesome, the roster of people who are involved. To me, it seems like one of those things where 10 years down the line or 20 years, they'll be like, all those people did this stupid thing.
It does feel like a who's who of coming. I mean, even Channel 101 has always kind of been a place where new guy, you're like, oh, wow, those guys, like the Lonely Island
it's a
guys.
Ground,
Duncan Brothers, who do stuff with Dan Harmon. Mm-hmm. Dan Harmon himself, you know, is all kind of bred from this weird indie sort of filmmaking competition every month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the second city of, video creators.
Yeah,
all went to SNL and did their own things. You know, it's like those kind of proving grounds where people can assess everyone else's talent and, move themselves up to the most talented person is... I think it's awesome, man. I love that stuff. That's why it's all great.
I think the feedback is a little more direct and honest than, you know, you just throw something up on YouTube and you get 1,000 comments. Right. It's good. People, and you always get good ratios.
Yeah. So what was the choice behind, because the video is on Vimeo, correct? Is it not on YouTube?
The main video is on Vimeo. I mean, there's certain scenes in there that, let's just say, are a hard R. So I think that's the choice for Vimeo on that. And they kind of left YouTube as for people like us who want to split the scene off and put it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I think it worked the best like that. So Vimeo is a little more of the art house venue. So it's less banner ads for advertising.
How did that work? Where did the money come from? And how did they decide who gets to work on this and who does which segment?
What's money?
Exactly. It's that green thing that you use to get... No, that's food stamps for the food. Right. Money's for...
It was really just our friend Dave, who just is really central to this creative community of people who just do stuff for fun. And because he had done the Footloose remake before and just had a lot of good karma in the community, he reached out to... I mean, it's over 60 filmmakers.
That's right,
And he would assign scenes based on, I think, who he thought could execute very well.
Oh, interesting.
And it was all just kind of random. He just emailed us and he was like, hey, want to do this? And we didn't expect to get money. At the very least, it's like those projects are great because you can try new things and there's not a client who's going to be pissed off at you.
Yeah.
It was all self-funded. And we built our set just in my driveway and...
A pretty big set, about 4 feet by 4 feet.
It yeah. like, yeah. It was like 9 feet.
Yeah. But we saw the scene, and it's like this crazy, like, climactic scene where there's, you know,
an abandoned steel mill.
A steel mill,
right. We're not going to steal that
there's
shot.
There's, like, cranes, and it's right, like, okay, yeah. how are we going to do this? And we
For those of you familiar with the RoboCop, well, the RoboCop, great, now I'm sounding like my dad. my dad
the RoboCop. Check it out.
Like, English being a second language, puts the in front of everything.
Oh, my mom does that too, and English is her first language.
Yeah, well, I saw that Gone with the Wind movie.
No, he will. He'll straight up be like, you know, like, you want to go see the Star Wars?
Yes.
Sure. That was the original title, though.
Yeah, true. That's correct.
Yeah, maybe he's just like really hip. Yeah. He's just like,
hello. I was a producer on it, don't you know?
Yeah.
That's why I have 20 cars.
The accents of the guys in the episode 1, that's me. Wait, I've literally lost my train of thought here.
You're talking about RoboCop. If you've seen
RoboCop.
The
RoboCop. Yeah, yeah. RoboCop.
It's the scene. It's like the climactic scene between
the guy from that '70s show.
Guy from that '70s show.
Red Foreman.
And
the RoboCop.
And I will say, by the way, it's been long enough between RoboCop viewings for me that I saw RoboCop when I was a very impressionable young youth, mm-hmm. and the only things I remember from that were. The thing like falling down the stairs, the stop motion, yeah, like
Ed 209,
mm-hmm. his hand getting blown off, which was pretty traumatic when like watching that when you're 12, by the way, not the best age to watch RoboCop. And one of the commercials, and specifically this scene where he gets impaled by a tube or a steel
spike.
Do you remember the toxic waste guy? Do you remember that?
The melting?
You
remember that? Remember. Oh, that one sticks out to me big time.
Yeah, definitely.
Bringing up seeing it when you're too young, I actually saw that movie. I was in a after-school daycare thing. I was the oldest, and I was, I think, that age or maybe younger.
Yeah.
And the youngest were, like, not even old enough for school. Like, yeah. 4. Yeah. And there was, like, one girl that worked there. She was probably, like, 22 at the time, and she thought it was a good idea to play RoboCop at, like...
Oh, my God.
Like, because it had just come out. And I was like, I heard about this on TV. I want to see this.
The Robot Cop.
It's exactly yeah, robots. That's great. So I went home, and it's like, Mom, we saw RoboCop today at daycare. And she freaked out.
Oh.
She'd heard that it was... rated R, rented it. I got to see it again.
Oh, man. Bonus.
Dude, the best.
So that she could see how terrible it was.
You played that perfectly.
Yes, exactly.
Well, the only thing I remember was the spike as a...
The hand spike.
The hand
the
spike.
Data, the data.
USB device.
Yeah. I remember like
USB
literally...
USB 1.0.
Yeah. I remember running around with... 1.0. Nice.
I like that your mom just made you watch it again, though, to check if it was terrible or not. Yeah.
Is this the movie you saw? Is this the filth that you saw?
Watch it again.
Which part was the scariest? Raise your hand when you're scared.
RoboCop. It was my cousins that introduced me to RoboCop, and they were like, "Yo, this movie's awesome."
Well, I used to get in a fight with Mikey Kowalski in fourth grade.
This is like a real person.
No, Mikey Kowalski wore RoboCop gear every day. He was a big RoboCop fan, and I had never seen it, but I had seen The Terminator, and I had the Terminator chip on my shoulder. Wow. So no matter what Mikey said, no matter how cool that movie sounded, I was like, there's no way. The Terminator is so much more badass than RoboCop. But I was always like secretly like, what is this movie? How do I get my hands on this?
That's
it sounds
a weird
so
thing
cool.
that kids do. They just get really defensive about stuff they don't know anything
don't
about.
Don't know anything about it.
It's like RoboCop's better than Terminator. It's like, no, it's not.
No, it's not. He's stupid and dumb.
He's stupid.
He can't travel through time.
You're
so
wrong.
RoboCop,
you're
like,
wrong.
Why does he just get him shot in the face?
Yeah.
He just get shot in the face.
Come on. Finish the armor.
Yeah.
Or also, when he gets stabbed, like, why did they keep certain parts of him human, like it just seems
like seems remarkably inefficient.
Seems like they could have just built a robot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And not the cop part.
These are all issues we tackled with our action figures.
We really thought it through.
That's right.
So
you guys did a miniature version of that scene.
I think we maybe went a little overboard because it has musical and miniature. We started with musical. We're like, we'll make a musical. So we brought on, somehow
maybe we could shoot it live action.
Yeah, that would be our out. There's no way. So we brought in Mark Douglas and Todd Womack from Barely Political and Keeve Awesome to do the song.
And Doug
does the other awesome music for them. And so we started there, and we're like, this is going to be awesome. And then we had the action figure idea because it would have been literally impossible to produce in any kind of feasible way.
Yeah.
And so that was really, you know, we were throwing a lot at the audience, but the technique was just so fun.
And it really stood out to us because and Des and I remember like I was elbowing Des. I'm like, Des, you have to see this. This is really interesting.
Oh, yeah, it was mind-blowing.
Fascinating. Where you guys took action figures, but then you head-tracked real human heads onto the action figure. So it's this weird mix of like, you realize that the articulation that you get from the face, from the human face, is more than enough.
That's all you need.
Yeah. So that when you, even though the action figure is like totally stiff, it still looks way more animated than anything you expect. You probably even more so than if you're even moving the arms around, just because you have the facial expressions at a, you know, brisk 24 frames a second going around. How did that idea come around? Well,
I think it was exactly what you said. You know, we think, how can we shoot this on scale? But how, you know, we knew it was already a musical because Mark had already like pretty much finished the song. And we're like, how are we going to convey this expression and emotion if we're going to shoot it in miniature? And we're like, people are just going to be looking at the heads, you know? Like,
that's the key of it.
And then we're like, maybe we could stop animate some of the action figures. And like, again, that's just way too long.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially so, for free. We're doing this all for free. Yeah.
How long was it? Just like a weekend afternoon?
We shot that in like a day and a half. All the scale stuff. And then all the green screen was a couple hours.
Okay, okay.
But the editing, which I had to do,
right?
Was,
I mean, well, that's probably just an hour.
Week and a half. So
you didn't go shot for shot off of the original A?
We did a lot of that.
We have a like a side by side video on there, so you can see it. Because I think you can't remember the details of the scenes when you watch it back, and I think that really showcases we're really like doing as close as we could and helped make the whole process seem action figures. Yeah,
for RoboCop it was fine because he's already like a plastic thing.
Yeah, it's so, already RoboCop was perfect. He ain't moving anywhere. You know, RoboCop.
I spent a little bit extra on the $70 like high detail RoboCop action figure, and it was probably more detailed than the original.
Do you you own that now?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a great action figure.
You bought it just for the short though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a business expense, obviously.
Yeah, write that right off.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Cool. That scene with the action figure is really interesting. That was what really stood out to us, was just that technique. It was just such a weird blend of like clearly like someone holding a doll underneath the lens and being like, okay, this is what they're saying and all that, compared with, you know, this the sort of green screen stuff where you have articulation. And anyway, it was a very good effect. I guess how do you find this? You just search Google Our RoboCop Remake? Is that
Can go to our Indie Machines channel. Oh, Indie Machines, YouTube the Indie too, Machines. It's gonna have a big playlist at the top.
And I think it's ourrobocop.com, right?
And that's where you can see ourrobocopremake.com. We're calling the technique face replace, and we haven't really seen it too many other places, but we're really thinking of doing more stuff with it because it seems cool.
And what's kind of interesting too is because it's a lot of times I think you come up with the cool, weird stuff because of necessity, because of, okay, crap, we have this problem, how are we going to solve it? Like, you would, I don't think any reasonable person would never be like, okay, here's how we're going to do it. It's always like, okay, this is what we have. How do we combine them? Oh man, we can't spend any money. What if we just try this? And you try it, and that's where experimentation comes from, is out of necessity rather than almost, I mean, it's never like divine insights. It's always just like, let's see if this works. And I'm like, oh wow, this does work.
It would have been weird to write like a romantic comedy and be like, you know what, let's just do this action figures. People's faces on it.
And that's a great idea. That can be step two.
Exactly.
I almost wonder, I feel like you never would have come to, let's do a musical with action figures, but because you're already locked into this musical idea, and you had to figure out how do we produce this on a budget.
He wrote music for us, I assume, right?
That's pretty, because I actually think it might work better in just like conversational back and forth.
Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting,
But
maybe a tough thing to tell a guy who's just written a song for you, be like, we're doing action figures.
Sorry, Mark. I spent $70 on this figure.
I got this on Amazon. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it's sick.
Yeah.
Exactly. We guys normally keep like a running tally, right? So what's the DIY budget for that short? If you could give us a ballpark.
Yeah, I think ballpark was probably like maybe $300.
Wow. Less than the price of a new Xbox.
Yeah. Because it was like a lot of styrofoam and spray paint. That was the whole set. Was just like in cardboard boxes.
And probably black tape.
Lots of black tape.
That's awesome. Definitely. Cool. I mean, I can't speak for any of the other filmmakers, but I feel like you may have just spent less than anyone else, and your short stands above all, 60 some others.
It was like 16 shorts or something.
Yeah, I think it was
60.
Well, then, I mean, they're not taking into account the thousands of dollars of their time.
That's true. Where does that count?
Hundreds of thousands.
That's not selling it short. Easily hundreds of thousands.
We're probably the most family friendly scene, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I showed my mom, and you know, I didn't send her the full film. Sorry, everyone else.
We actually went to the screening, and I took my dad.
Oh, boy.
And if you've seen the Fatal Farm scene, I don't know how much we could talk about that, but
there's a lot of shooting dicks.
Get into it.
Exploding dicks.
Like good 30 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then maybe, so I looked over at my dad when that scene was happening, and he's like a carpenter, you know, total blue collar, never seen anything like that. And he was just like, I thought he might be laughing, but it was just utter shock.
I guess that's a good question, right? Let's bring the parents into this conversation. How are your folks doing? What do you think about all this YouTube madness?
My parents have been like insanely supportive. I remember like when I was a kid, in third grade, I would just do these epic like battle doodles with like stick figures.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It would be like multiple pages. Mm-hmm. And in third grade, on the back of some piece of, you know, homework, I did this epic battle scene. There's like airplanes and stick figures are diving in. And the teacher wrote on the front in big red pen, like, Justin should spend more time studying and less time drawing. And my parents put that on the fridge, like, this teacher's dumb.
Like, do not see which how is why, sick this is?
Exactly, which is probably why I got kicked out of a crappy college in Wisconsin for bad grades. But that all led to here, and so my parents have always been, like, super supportive awesome. And nice and all.
Your parents just rolled with the punches. They saw that, they're like, he's not going to be a doctor.
So. Yeah. Have you seen these stick figure drawings? Yeah, yeah. Just stick with the arts. Yeah. And my dad's super supportive. I mean, he was in a lot of the early Backyard Effects. And, like, we built robots together, and we did the first documentary we worked on together was about me and my dad, like, riding cross country. So they're supportive.
Cool.
Yeah.
I guess,
but they still don't get it, really. You know, they don't.
It's weird to explain it. Yeah.
The YouTube side of it.
Yeah. They're like, that's cute. Yeah. Like, you're eating all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Staying fit. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Staying healthy. Okay. Okay, good. Yeah, no, that's exactly it. I mean, it's a weird thing to explain.
We did a video contest that for a commercial that played once on TV, and that was like, then they got it. You know?
Once it kind of transitioned to the traditional style of things.
Oh, now you're a movie
When
director.
It's in the box in front of the couch, it's legit.
Exactly.
It's crazy how that works. You know, you can get millions of views online, and yet to a lot of America.
And that's just like, another screen. You know, in the room next over.
Yeah.
You know?
Now,
it's not
I,
the same as the television.
I remember the first time I just came home to, like, pick up a package, and my dad just looked at me, and it had nothing to do with us. He was like, I heard about the YouTube on the Wall Street Journal. They were talking about the YouTube. That's what you do, right? He's like, I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh.
All right.
Like, that was the first time he's like, I heard that word that you do in a paper I read, so it must be a real thing now.
He just gave me the nod, like the nice.
Nice, yeah. Like, all right.
Yeah.
Like,
guess you're not
he still had
porn.
No idea what it was.
I'm writing you back in my will, son.
Yeah.
I acknowledge you, young man.
That must be so confusing, because you're not saying I'm going to be a filmmaker. It's like, I'm just doing this alien thing. Word you don't know.
Yeah.
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 Our kids will do it to us someday. And we'll be like, what's Zerdares?
Zerdares? Well, don't you know, Dad? It's like when you dare each other and there's their dares.
So when you upload your consciousness into somebody else's consciousness, you make a new being and then you raise it and then you show it to the rest of the world. Like, what's so weird about
hello,
that?
Hello, I'm like so popular on that. I can't believe you don't understand me, Dad.
And then he's like, the human race is over.
I'm going to my space pod.
Yeah.
So you come down from that space pod right now, son. You teleport right down here. I hope that's exactly what that is 50 years
If I can
now.
Say the phrase, you teleport right down here from your space pod right now, I'll be so happy.
What a strange world.
Human race is a good.
So
good
aside
place.
From all the bundles of cash, what pulled you in the direction of YouTube?
Yeah, I don't know you guys' story.
Yeah, what's the origin?
We both work for like an internet startup called Nexu Networks.
Okay, which got eaten up.
Exactly.
By old Daddy YouTube.
The old YouTube.
Daddy Googs.
So I got hired on there, and it was late 2006, early 2007 as the first creative hire. And I've been doing online video for almost 15 years, so it's been a long journey. It's changed quite a bit since
quote
then.
Quote unquote, maybe the first online
yeah,
video
the
blogger.
First video blogger.
He got in an argue with this other guy.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm technically.
Let's not bring him up.
There's a big feud going on, everybody. Yes. Still bitter.
They brought me on to Nexu, and I had done a lot of video stuff before online with a site called Film Fights, which is essentially kind of one of the 2003.
I remember Film Fights.
Yeah, 2003 was the first competition site online, and it's still going, 10-year anniversary.
That's right. Yeah, it was like it would. I literally remember this in some other conversation, but remind me, what is Film Fights?
So essentially, Film Fights, back in 2003, like, I knew probably 10 other filmmakers online, and I was like, we need like a central place to, like, you know, hang out and compete, because I just love the competition aspect. Mm-hmm. I should have made YouTube. I did not do that.
This would be a golden jacket.
I like to think in, you know, kind of a microcosm. So I made this site called Film Fights, where essentially, for me as a creative person, I love to start with some inkling of an idea. It's like a teacher's like, blank piece of paper, write a paper about anything. It's like, oh, you sit there
too
and try
much,
to think. Or write a paper about a space banana. You're like, sweet, you know?
Space banana, that's not going to work with that.
So you start with something. So Film Fights basically provides a title, a genre, and a time limit, and then a deadline. And so filmmakers from all around the world, I was like, me and my you know, 9 other friends will compete on here and it'll be fun because I have a server and no one else does.
That was like the big thing back then. We bring this up with some of the other OGs of online video, OGOVs as I like to call them. But it's the thing at the time was just like, where do we put this?
Yeah.
How do we gotta compress it? You gotta use weird codecs.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta get
Sorensen. Real media.
Oh, yeah. Sorensen. Oh, my God.
This is like the old man, like, walked uphill both ways kind of.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the compressed
Sorensen. Yeah.
640 by 360. That's what it was, kid.
So it kind of was like, I think it's like the pre-version of Channel 101. You know, it's like really it's perfect for filmmakers who are just starting out and who want like a nice place to get good feedback.
Great feedback.
Which is great. So, and that's how I met Eric back in 2005. He was submitting to Film Fights.
I discovered him at the same time and I was like, I'm clearly not good enough for Channel 101 yet. This is like Film Fights was like the minor leagues. I'm like, I'm going to start here.
Then we told him.
It's a great place to start. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, it's great. And it's a great community, great feedback.
And so I met Eric and he started, you know, just on the website and he was doing things with puppets. And I was like, this guy's so creative. And so when I got hired at Next New, they're like, tell us all your friends and like, let's get shows for them. And so one of them was like, Eric, he's good at building stuff. He should do a show about building stuff. And that, and I was like, I want a filmmaker network because, you know, we're going to launch all these internet networks. And everyone's that's crazy. So that's how Indie Mogul started, and Eric brought on the first show, Backyard Effects, which went on to hundreds of millions of views and Webbies. And
great
success, actually. Inspiring a lot of people. Thankfully, you know, it's the great success right before there was money in it. Just perfect.
Good timing, everybody. It's all about timing.
We should have built something in the terms of service of the site that, like, all these filmmakers that watched Indie Mogul, when they get successful, we get like 1% of their future earnings.
Just a little bit of it.
So Eric came on in really one of the first people in 2007, 2008, and went on. It was awesome. Everyone loved it. Indie Mogul was a huge thing. And that actually was, you know, we worked at Google for a while and it was great. We were there for 6 months. But at the end of the day, I really love the startup atmosphere because you have that kind of like, there's that risk. Like what you do makes a difference. And when a huge company like YouTube, Google, it's got amazing perks and it was great opportunities, but for Eric and
I, you were thinking of this in the middle of an employee massage while you were
I was great about that. Yeah, crunch. I got plenty of massages. And so for Eric and I as creatives, you know, we felt our path was looking at even people like you who are doing great stuff on YouTube were like, that to us was the ideal. Like the full time, if we could spend full time hours making creative stuff, like we knew we'd find success in the end. And so we ended up
leaving.
After
Google.
6 months.
Who does that?
Way before our stocks vested, so, you know, whatever that means now. But really, it's like an investment in our time and ourselves, and that's been, and moved out here to LA, and it's been great.
Yeah.
When did you move to LA?
2 years ago.
Yep.
Awesome.
Awesome. So yeah, so I mean, a lot of the, so first of all, you touched upon something, which actually I think is actually an entry point that is shared from a lot of people, at least our age at least, which is film contests and video contests as a way of like, spurring you forward as like, oh, I get, because a lot of times I realize a lot of these contest site, even sort of pre-YouTube, it's like that's how you would get in, is they would have a place where they would submit and they would host on their servers, so I had a place to put it, and so be like, okay, gotta just get this thing down to 50 megabytes.
Oh yeah,
640 by 480, 50 megabytes, and upload it to this contest site. And I think it sounds like you guys done your share of video contests.
Actually, one of the many other ventures, I have onlinevideocontest.com where
we list
all the videos. So that was since 2006, and we've really, for Eric and I coming out here and not having that like full-time salary anymore,
that's great.
For me, it was video contest is a great way to stay creative, not get too entangled in like any kind of like full-time job or long-term anything, and take a shot at making some money. And so that was a big part of our year last year and led to a lot of really great opportunities.
Thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. We're going to take a very short break. I just want to take a moment to tell you about our brand new sponsor. Today's Face Tracker podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace.com, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website and online portfolio. Take it from us. Building your own website is a huge pain in the butt. It took us forever to build Rocket Jump. It's a very difficult task, especially if you're an artsy, fartsy, creative type that like doesn't know how to code. Use the offer code Rocket Jump, sign up for a free trial, and you get 10% off your first purchase. These guys are great. It's all drag and drop, fully customizable. You can link your site right to your Facebook and Twitter profiles. Even a chump like you, John, can put together a great website in minutes.
Well, from what I hear, they've got tons of design templates and style options, and they update with new stuff all the time. You can even set up like a merch store in 2 seconds.
You got a bunch of merch you want to sell?
Not yet, but I will be now that I can use squarespace.com to easily set up my website.
You can. It's just that easy. Plus, there's this really cool feature where all the designs also come in the mobile version, so your site doesn't look like total garbage on an iPhone.
Also, if you need a little help, or if you just want someone to talk to because you're having a lonely Saturday night, they have an amazing customer support team. Over 100 people on call 24/7.
Thanks to Squarespace for supporting the show. Head over to squarespace.com and use the promo code ROCKETJUMP for a free trial and 10% off your first purchase. Again, just go try it out. Design your website. If you like it, then you buy.
All starting at $8 a month.
Don't even need a credit card to get started.
Squarespace, it's everything you need to make a kick-ass website.
Hey guys, how's it going? Jimmy Wong, aka Ted from VGHS here, telling you to check out shop.rocketjump.com. We've got brand new merchandise like iPhone cases and iPad decals to shirts, Blu-rays, and posters, including brand new Season 2 designs from our friends at Danger Brain. There's also the incredibly popular VGHS hoodie, and some of our older shirts are on sale for a great price. So make sure you check it out right after this podcast at shop.rocketjump.com. Thanks so much, guys.
We've mostly been entering to this website called Tongle.
Tongle. Yeah.
Actually, we're nominated for a bunch of... They have a award show coming up called the Tongies.
The first
annual Tongies, which we have no idea what to expect, but we're very excited. And it's that site in particular is great because you don't really have to... You pitch like an idea and then you have like a small production budget.
Oh,
so you don't have to really like invest too much time or energy until you're guaranteed at least like a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Since we're really going at it as, you know, a business almost, you know, we needed this to pay our rent. We could pick and choose and not minimize the risk.
So I think for a lot of people starting out, it's a good way of, you know, it's a good way of testing yourself and seeing like, all right, here are my parameters. Here is a deadline now. I'm no longer, you know, subject to the wishy-washy whims of like, oh, I guess I'll make a video some point tomorrow or maybe next week or maybe the week after that. But it's like, nope, it's due here. This is what it has to be about. Get your friends together. It forces you into action, which I love. I love stuff that forces you to do that. And I think there's like a lot of things that people actually don't realize about video contests. And like, I want to hear your, because I think we should all go around and share, because I have my list of tips for the kids doing video contests. But what are your tips? If someone's like, all right, here's a video contest, here we go. Like, what do they need to do? What do they need to think about?
I think my biggest one is to like put yourself in the mind of the brand. Yeah. I think that's what most people don't do is they get so wrapped up in being an artist and you don't understand like they're footing the bill and they have a brand identity and that's all they think about is who they are as a brand. Yeah.
They're going to pick the one that's most like the commercial they would have paid for.
Yep.
Anyways. Absolutely. Exactly.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of great experience on IndieMogul because back in the day we did brand integrations with movie studios and things like that. And so through trial and error, we learned that process of working with a brand, even though they're already committed. And so we kind of learned how brands think. Mm-hmm. So that's what we start with the creative, what excites us, and then we always put it through that filter of, is this gonna
and that's why
sense?
we would pick brands that made sense for what we do.
Yeah.
You know, it would be hard for us to do like a women's deodorant. Which is one that we looked at.
Just right off the tip of your tongue, that one.
Yeah. But the things we did were for brands like Lego.
Right.
What creative person doesn't love Lego?
Star Wars
and Pringles, you know, like these are things
Star Wars themed Pringles?
They did for a second.
Yeah.
What do they taste like?
Like the Force.
Like midichlorians.
Midichlorians. Which tastes gross.
Sprinkled with blue stuff on it. It's like, I don't know if this is the... Mm.
So we made sure to pick brands that we knew we could really knock the creative out of the park and make something that they would want.
And we wouldn't have to fake it, you know?
Yeah. And onlinevideocons.com is a good resource as a sort of a clearinghouse for where all these... Because everybody, at some point, some agencies like, you know what's hip and cool right now? Kids. Mm-hmm. And the YouTube. We got to get on the YouTube somehow. And they're like, well, we should do video contest. And that's a good place. Because a lot of times, you know, I remember how we heard about this stuff would be like, in film school, they would hear it from like there's a contest going on that Microsoft is putting on or something. You know, like
that wind that like sweeps over.
It was Microsoft. Yeah. Coke was like the one that came through every year. Refreshing Filmmakers Award.
The Coke
one.
The John Woo Stranglehold contest.
But the thing is, but you're right. The thing about contests is like I see a lot of the Doritos is now become like the big one.
It's the Super Bowl of online video contest.
Yes, exactly. And the thing about that one is you see all these ones online where it's like they get views and you're like, no, you're not gonna win that, dude. Mm-hmm. Like Doritos does not want to be associated with whatever horrible weird thing you're doing. Like clearly not. Like if you look at but that's good advice. It's like look at every other ad that company's put out and be like, all right, is this in line with it? What are the bullet points that they're trying to hit here? Yeah. And it's like, okay, they're kind of, it's like, who are they going for? Are they going for like 18 to 24 year old dudes? Are they going for teenagers? Are they going for, you know, like, get that in your head and then ideate around that. And it's like, it can, you can see it as kind of like a, oh, that's just being restrictive in my creativity and my artist, but like, no, you're trying to learn.
Well, just
learn.
Don't do the contest then.
Yeah, yeah. It's a commercial.
Like,
yeah.
Also, you're trying to, the side of filmmaking, it's like, you can go write a novel. Like at the end of the day, filmmaking always has, right?
It's art and commerce.
Yeah. It's always collaboration too. Like, I don't care if Lars von Trier is the biggest auteur on the planet. It's like, at the end of the day, there's still another dude shooting it, making that set occasionally. Like, there's always going to be collaboration, and yeah, it's just a very...
Yeah, unless you're like the guy that does Mothlight, who just sits on 16mm film and paints on it.
Yeah, it's like, wow. Like, yeah.
That's, everything else is like, no, the film as you understand it is a commercial, creative, and collaborative endeavor. It's not just one person getting across. And the big thing about the contest for me is always votes, the community vote thing. Really look at that clause real close, because the big sentence that you need to look out for is the right for the judges to reserve their judgment at any time, which is what that means is it doesn't matter how many votes
or
you get.
Or stands for like 10% of the other ones. Yeah, like, exactly. The voting is 10% of the final decision or something.
And 56% like that. 70% is the judge's decision. It's about, you're not trying to impress everybody, and it doesn't matter. You can have a video that goes super mega viral and everyone wants to see it, but if the brand isn't happy with it, they just won't pick it.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, and they probably don't even want it out there if it's against what they...
They'll bury it.
It's bad for them in a lot of ways.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And if it does do great and it's kind of in line, they just won't touch it. You're just giving them free promotion now. Congratulations.
Yeah. So, we do consulting for video contests, and one thing that we always suggest is have the judges pick their favorites and then do a vote. Because why leave it up to chance? Yeah. Why would anyone ever be like, let's just leave it up to...
Well, let's just let 4chan figure this one out. It's like, yeah, good work, guys.
Trust their judgment.
Yeah.
when we were doing the Star Wars one, there was we got a peek at some of the other contestants, and there was this one that was really funny, but they had this Chewbacca character, and the mask they used was like... It was like Chewbacca was like melted in the...
A microwave.
Yeah, it was just like skewed, and it was great, but we knew they're never going to pick this because they're so sacred with, you know, you got melty face Chewbacca. Yeah.
It's hideous.
So we wrote it off as far as competition. And then when they did the final thing, they actually went back and reshot all the Chewbacca stuff with a better mask.
Oh.
And we're like, God, they're going to beat us. Like, they got rid of melty face Chewbacca.
Yeah. A lot of times, because at the end of the day, it's not really a contest. It's a tacit sort of work for hire thing that's out there where the company's like, we want you guys to make us something that we can use, and we're not actually paying you, or we might pay you a little bit in exchange for some cool stuff, but there's an understanding here, right, guys? And the people who understand that are the ones who are able to do video contests. That's my advice for video contests.
Oh yeah, yeah. It is like work for hire. Yeah. That's exactly right.
I love on the video contest whenever there's somebody who gets like, you know, 100,000 views, there's always like the complainers.
Oh, mm-hmm. And they're always like,
it's like,
what?
That person's popular. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they have 100,000 views. That's why they're going to win the contest. Very good there. It's just like, it's such a weird thing to, yeah. And they're probably popular because they're good too. It's the other thing.
Or not. Yeah. In some cases, or not.
Yeah, that's
or
true.
Not. We've seen a couple of or nots in our time. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because it's up to the brand. And some dude is sitting there being like, yeah, we can't show this to the CEO. He's just telling you that.
Yeah. Are all video contests branded though?
No, not necessarily. I think it's also like, for example, the one that I remember a lot was the Apple contest that they did. They did, right? Remember they did like a 48-hour film contest thing for a bit when we were in school. Mm-hmm. So this would be like 2004.
Six.
No.
Four is freshman year.
No, freshman year for me at least. All I remember they did it for 2 years, I think, two or 3 years. So it was like 2004, 5, and 6. And they partnered with Adobe, and you could get Final Cut, and it was like they went to all the film schools and did this.
That.
And what's funny about this one was, you looked at like the ones that were like very clearly there are guys who just like had pre-shot stuff and like and were trying to kind of shove it into the thing. Like, I remember one in particular was like a guy had like a helicopter shot and like just, and you're just like, they're just trying to stun you with production value and it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's one of those things where everyone tries to cheat it and everyone's going to complain about it. But at the end of the day, it's up to the brand.
Yeah.
Up to the brand. So you guys have obviously tons and tons of tutorials for just about every aspect that you can come up with as far as filmmaking goes. And I know that
we use them.
Yeah. We've used them. Yes, we have.
Even definitely in college.
Yeah, I know, especially, and also a lot of our audience too, you know, cites examples of stuff, and I've gotten tweeted pictures of, you know, people's getting homemade figurines and stuff like that. Of all the things that you've created? And well, I guess I have multiple questions as down this sort of road, but I guess I'll start off with, what do you think is like the best first thing to make for any given, like, I want to get into filmmaking and I want to get going to that and I don't have a lot of money. What's the best first step, first thing to do?
Build a camera.
Yeah. You guys didn't see that episode? I think the stabilizer stuff, I think, is probably the smartest. Mm-hmm. I mean, any of the filmmaking rigs are always the cheapest. They're always like, you can use it on any shoot. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that actually usually last. Like on BFX, we kind of had two or three builds. There was like the effect specific ones that were total one time throwaway.
Yeah.
And even the props, you had to build them so cheap, they would totally fall apart.
Yeah.
That's the dirty secret of BFX. Nothing lasts. And then there was like the gear. And so like the stabilizers, there's like that $14
poor man's Steadicam.
Yep.
Yep.
And then there was a dolly that we made with roller skate wheels and like PVC pipe that we used for years.
Yeah, yeah.
On BFX. And it's just, you know, the camera moves smooth. It's like the audience is never going to see what's behind the camera. So
yeah, exactly. It could be on a shopping cart on the edge of, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've done that. I've done the PVC one.
VJHS season 2, despite all the money, literally had a shopping cart dolly shot.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There is.
That's great.
I remember seeing one of your guys' video where Brandon had those like wheelie shoes.
Yeah, the
and
Heelys.
And I was like, or Heelys.
The Heelys actually
are
not bad.
Didn't you fall using those?
I may have.
You broke one of the cameras.
We may have spent $1,000 to fix a camera.
Yeah, yeah, I think
so
maybe. I don't know about that though. I don't know if that's verified or I don't. There's no real evidence of that. As I heard, conjecture, mere conjecture that I may have fell while trying to transition, running upstairs with wheels in my heels. But yeah, Heelys actually is a weird one. That's actually a pretty good one. That's just like a do-it-yourself. Yeah. If you're on smooth concrete and you're... Yeah.
And you're a super athlete who can probably be at the X Games, then go ahead.
Come on, Matt. They're Heelys. The little 8-year-old girls are running around the malls getting chased by mall security.
Yeah,
I know
it can't $3,000 camera.
Okay, well, maybe you should just use a cheaper camera next time.
Sure, too.
But Heelys are good, actually. And what's crazy, people don't realize this, you can buy them online. They come in adult shoe sizes.
Yeah. That's what I always wondered. Yeah,
they do. They come in adult shoe sizes.
Thank God.
However, you as an adult will hate yourself if you walk in them for any longer than like 15 minutes. They are like, because they're like, they're almost like high heels in that the wheel puts your heel up, so you're kind of on your like balls of your feet, and you're kind of like clicking around, and you have to walk a little different because otherwise you'll just flip off and just and it hurts like your feet hurt. They're not good shoes. They're great like quick camera platform type of things combined with additional stabilization in terms of like, you know, fig rig type of thing. Heelys. But it has to be dead smooth out there.
Right. At that point, you could use a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Anything else.
A tripod on wheels or a wheelchair. Wheelchair is a big one. Let me ask you something quick, Des, because you ever use a wheelchair and like your stuff with growing up?
Yeah, I had a wheelchair. Garage sale. I would troll garage sales and get equipment. I got a bunch of used PVC to build a dolly
It had like toilet water running through it.
No, use PVC. That's
you know,
so
someone
cheap.
Buys a bunch for a job and they cut it, so they got a bunch of leftover scraps.
It's full of just like water. Like
work lights. It's easy to get work lights like that.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, even we have a couple work lights in this bad boy right here.
Classic clip-on.
Yeah. I got that one. Actually, I remember that one was Robert Rodriguez's thing on El Mariachi. Yep. He said that he had like three
clip-on work lights with photo flood bulbs.
Yeah.
And a ladder, right? Like that was his whole kit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Those are good. Those are you can get those at hardware stores, and they're just like the bulbs are harder. You have to go kind of like to a photographic store or something and get like the actual cinema bulbs that are brighter.
You know that,
and last
that you kind of I feel like you used to need that when you were shooting film if you were shooting 16 like Robert was, but nowadays with digital you can white balance to anything. Just get any bulb. Yeah.
Good point. Yeah. Good point.
Have you guys heard about because you know they phased out the incandescents? Can you still buy photo ones or
you can still buy incandescents? Specifically, I think you still can.
Specialty versions. We were just talking about this.
Well, I was actually looking into this because there was a whole hubbub about, oh, they're going to get rid of the incandescent bulb. Technically, the legislation was they're getting rid of incandescent bulbs below a certain efficiency rating, which means that incandescent bulbs are still around, just they're better made now.
That's it. So you can still get incandescent bulbs. There was a big hubbub about, oh, they're going to get rid of our light bulb. That's like, no, so it's going to still. You can still get incandescent bulbs, but they are now just more efficient, which at a certain point, by the way, like which meant like almost every modern like incandescent bulb was pretty much at that efficiency level or close to it, so it wasn't really that big of a burden. So yes, you still can.
Okay.
LED is actually kind of the new hip, cool thing. Yeah, so we have light panels up here. There's other LED manufacturers and stuff like that, but that's an interesting one as well, just in terms of...
I got an LED light bulb. Finally.
Oh, you did?
I kickstarted like the Nano Leaf like
right,
2 years ago.
Square thing.
It finally came in. My girlfriend hates it. She's like, it looks white. It's like there's like a, and when we put it in, we turn it on. I gotta say, it was like, we have like three lights in to like light up the living room.
Yeah.
And this one, I just, all the lights are off. I turned it on and like, it was just like blasted the whole room. I like it. It was like nice, even light, but you know, it's not
a nice
as orange.
Even blinding light in the middle of the room. I love it.
Lighthouse.
I like that. Right. I was saying we should just get them. They look cool though. They're like origami looking, like that.
It's like little wood kind of cardboard.
It's kind of weird. But I guess now LED light bulbs is like the big thing. If you go to like Osh or whatever, they
it
sell.
Is. It's
like
a hip cool. It's the hip cool thing.
I think it'll replace compact fluorescent.
It's a light bulb podcast. Welcome back to light bulb chat. Call in. Tell us about your incandescents.
Bulb bros.
Yeah,
bulb,
it's like
bulb bros.
I just love all the crazy DIY like ways of making movies. And Eric and I actually working on this awesome documentary.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. You guys speaking of DIY stuff. We saw a trailer of this. Yeah. Tell us about. So it's coming up. I think by the time this comes out, the Kickstarter will be live. So we'll have the link plastered all over this. But you guys are doing a documentary on what appears to be like a dude who
an
like
amazing DIY.
The definition of do it yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
It's literally just one guy who makes like Michael Bay style movies, like 40-minute epic blockbuster films
style.
Completely alone. it's amazing.
The idea anyway.
He calls them internet art films because they really are like art, they're like modern art. He essentially makes these blockbuster films, car chases, it's sci-fi films, it's westerns, and he plays literally every part, sometimes in split screen, and the rest of the characters are action figures.
Voiced by him. Or it's him with a mask.
And so he submitted to Indie Mogul years ago, and we and Eric and I saw it. And
but you have to say how. He mailed a Data DVD the legal department of Next Network.
It was the best. It was the coolest thing.
Is that DVD?
Yeah.
That's great.
So when we got it to play and saw this.
After hours of trying to get it to play.
We saw this epic the science fiction movie he made. And for Eric and I, is like coming from the DIY world back then at IndieMogul, we're like, this guy is, what he's doing is amazing. Like, I'm in awe of what he does because he writes scripts that he has no business making. Like, they're impossible.
Yeah.
I would look at that script and be like, car chases? Like, just like Eric and I with the RoboCop thing. It's like, this is impossible, you know? And I think in some ways, he inspired us with the action figures. We're like, how can we do this? Action figures, you know? And for him, that's the biggest thing is inspiring people.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's super inspiring.
Where is he in the world?
He's in Wichita, Kansas, and he lives in this tiny, like, studio apartment that's part... It's like a big old house that's been carved up into a series of tinier and tinier studio apartments that, like, I think it's like four or five just random dudes like live in this house.
Okay.
And he's got the biggest one, which is probably smaller than this room. And that's his like apartment, kitchen, like action figure workshop.
Yeah, studio.
His studio. Yeah. RG Studios, that's what he calls it.
Yeah, and he works, and what's so crazy is like, you know, he works a graveyard shift at a prison.
Oh,
and
wow.
And so it's like his spare time. He works in these for 3 months, and his spare time is making these epic worlds, like, you know, pirate movies, everything you can possibly imagine, making these epic worlds with the time he has during the day, you know, when he's not working. And it's what's amazing about him, and that's what really, like, makes him an artist to me, is that he thinks the internet, I mean, the internet is, it's this amazing showcase for artists. And part of the reason the title is Double Digits is I asked him what his definition of success was, and he told me double digits. If he gets more than 9 views on a video, it's a success.
He made it.
Hearing that coming from, you know, like if we don't get 10,000 on a video, I'm like, why do we waste our time?
Yeah.
This guy works 3 months on these epic 40-minute movies, and if he gets 10 views, he's like, great.
Man.
And that is just a huge, just as a creative person, if you're like, he can work that hard and have a payoff that's just so tiny compared to what you would kind of aspire to. Like, that's amazing. I mean, he's got 77 subscribers on YouTube. Like,
what's his YouTube channel?
It's Cheap Homemade Movies, but it's misspelled.
we'll put him a link.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely should link.
Well, I mean, if you can get for him to have like 150 subscribers would be
freak
the biggest thing in the world.
Because now
the
dude it's triple digits at that point.
Well, I feel like the internet is definitely split because we talk about this all the time. Like you kind of lose sense of like how many people you watch.
Yeah.
Like it feels like, I don't know, it's humble bragging or what. It's not trying to be like, I never really do think about it. Every once in a while, I'm like, oh, not that many people saw it. I'm like, a fucking million people saw it. Like, that is mind blowing. And like up until the internet, if you're a stand up comedian or you're doing, you know, like improv,
or
like
a band.
Getting 20 people is amazing. Like 20 people just sit there and listen to the
like
stupid shit
people
you're saying.
In a club playing or your band.
Yeah. You got 100 show. People at this show. Like, holy crap. Like when I was in elementary school, like, you know, I would draw, I would write little dumb plays that I had with my friends and various things. If I could get like 5 people to sit down and watch something, that was mind blowing to me. It's amazing to think about that, because at the end of the day, it's like if anybody like will listen to, you know, what you create, that's awesome.
And he's been making films for 35 years since 1979 when he was a kid on 8mm.
Wow. Do you have like the clips of his old films and stuff? And
he gave me a plastic bag full of VHS tapes of his films, and he actually ended up going to jail for 4 years. He went through alcoholism and battled drug addiction, all this stuff. Like, he's lived a real legit life.
Yeah.
And when I went down there, I'm like, oh, this is going to be like a guy like filming crazy stuff with action figures. Like, that'll be like interesting to see. And I uncovered this amazing life story of a guy who, you know, he's a full grown adult, and he has as much energy as like a 15-year-old filmmaker who's just starting out. And that's what was so compelling to me about him, and I never dreamed I would find this story, and it's just awesome.
That sounds awesome.
And so, yeah, like any good documentary is about that, is finding that and being able to sit with it. So tell me about that process and so far, sort of what you've gone, what you're looking for the, because you know, you guys are looking at crowdfunding and things like that.
When's it going to come out?
What was the process? Where have you been? How far have you gone with it?
Yeah, I went out the first time 2 years ago for a week and had no idea what to expect. I'm when our creative team here, Eric's like the pre-production guy, and I'm like more the post-production guy, which means I'm terrible at pre-production. So I'm like, I'm just gonna get out of Kansas and like hang out with this dude, Marissa, my wife, and I'm like, is that cool? And she's like, okay, whatever. And so it was very, very lucky because he was super open with his life from day one, his whole life story, and it was just like, that's what you need for this kind of thing. And so over the course of that week, I filmed him creating a movie called Ace Thunder Ace, which is essentially his, he's got the best title.
That's great.
It's essentially him as like a secret agent. You know, he's got a whole James Bond opening sequence, style opening sequence and everything. And it's all like this crazy like green screen. He shoots on this camera. Remember those old like cameras that would shoot to DVDs?
The mini DVDs.
Yeah. The little mini DVDs.
He's rocking that in this ancient computer.
How could he still find mini DVDs?
That's a great question.
Are they rewritable?
They're DVD.
But even then,
they
deteriorate.
But it's optical.
I feel like he just bought a crap load.
Right. So I followed his process over this week where he's like building models, and he's, you know, we were under a bridge with 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts, and he's literally duct taping his superhero costume, his secret agent costume to himself. And it was just amazing moment. So after that, I'm like, this is a feature. Like, this guy is, is compelling. And so the next time Eric and I went out and really got more of his backstory. But what we're planning for the Kickstarter is we want to go back in April, and he hasn't had a screening of any of his films for 25 years. And so we're trying to raise the money to rent a theater in Wichita. It's essentially like the ArcLight
of Wichita.
It's a really cool theater.
Yeah.
It's a 91-seat theater. And so we're renting it out.
Double digits, baby.
To show his, exactly,
double digit
that's good.
Seats.
To show his latest film, a superhero film called The Masked Man.
Dude, that's awesome. I'm gonna like cry just thinking about this. This is incredible.
His normal
that
like
amazing.
Viewing, he calls it his red carpet moment. He has these great names for it, like every part of his process.
Of the process.
Yeah.
Because he's been doing it for so long.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so his red carpet moment is he goes and like he makes popcorn and he just watches it by himself.
Really?
He's got a projector in his backyard.
Oh, he's got a little projector in the backyard.
He sits in his lawn chair. I hope that's going to be the last shot of our film, because it's like,
oh, yeah.
Spoilers.
We would love to have like this just big, huge moment for him, you know, after 25 years of obscurity. And then at the end of the day, like, you know, I want him to end on his own terms. You know?
Well, let me ask you this then, because you've spent some time with him then. In your estimation, what is at the core here? What's driving him to do this? What is that element that causes him to go and devote so much time to this?
Yeah, I think we're still figuring out.
To be fair, that's the meaning
of his life.
Well, donate to the Kickstarter and find out.
Exactly. But just from what you've seen so far, like what do you think?
We've sort of toyed with a couple ideas. I think, you know, one of them is that he had a very tough passed, you know, his mom, he's the youngest of like five or six kids, and his mom actually died like giving, like birthing him. And so he never knew his parents. And then, you know, he had a very unpredictable life. So we think maybe it's something about, this is how he sort of has some sense of control.
Oh, interesting.
You know, like he didn't have a lot of control in his world in life. Yeah, he creates his own worlds.
Interesting.
And that kind of tripped me out, because I was like, maybe that's why I make movies. Like, you know, like, this is crazy.
You have the opportunity to really explore the sort of meta idea of what filmmaking is, and this world creation and this ideation in a physical way. So it's, yeah, I think you guys have a really, really solid documentary subject.
Hopefully. That sounds exciting. Yeah.
What's the title?
Double digits.
That's right.
He's been saying it like 20 times.
And what's the plan for the Kickstarter?
So for the Kickstarter, when it's live, which is now.
Now, we're in the future, we totally contradict ourselves.
We're looking at raising between 10 and 15 grand. I think that would cover going out there and having this amazing moment for him. And so, you know, that's the plan, and maybe take us into some post-production. But really, we've been doing this super scrappy. Like, first time it was just me and a cameraman. Second time it was me, a cameraman, and Eric. So it's just like, there's not a crew. It's about as cheap as could be. Mm-hmm. I ask friends to borrow money, and that's about how I got out there.
And we've thought about like asking for more, but I think this is such a simple film to make, you know, and it's all about the story. I think we want to kind of keep it simple for now. And then rather than kind of asking like this big buy or even going for private funding, sort of giving some ownership away, we know we can do it ourselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, assuming it's great.
The definition of it, yeah, for sure.
Then, you know, we also have a much stronger position if we want to sell it later.
Yeah, or, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're definitely going to be supporting this when it goes out. You guys out there watching, listening to this, these guys have helped you out in the past. Now it's your turn to give back. They helped us out. Here's your turn to give back. Double Digits, the Kickstarter is live. We're going to be linking to it in annotation and down there. So it's, again, you've heard it. The documentary sounds fantastic. It sounds like a real exploration of filmmaking, of everything that we do and why we do it. And I think that, you know these guys. They've helped us all out. So head on over there. You guys can also check out their RoboCop short. It's on your site. And
over at the Indie Machines channel.
Indie Machines channel on YouTube. And thanks so much, Justin and Eric, for stopping by.
We had a present and a parting
present. Oh, no way. So we know you guys are into Monster Chaos. We're not sponsored by these guys at all, but Stees. We have been rocking these on set since we moved to LA 2 years ago. Yeah. And we love that they're all natural, whatever. Like I said,
split this one.
Yeah.
By the time this airs, we'll be sponsored by them.
Yeah. I would love that.
Give us like the dregs.
Stees. Organic Energy Super Fruit.
Justin actually, through his online video contest, they did a video contest. And so rather than being paid, Justin asked to be paid in product.
No way.
So $500 of Stees. Boxes and boxes of Stees.
That's awesome.
Is it like good? Is that
it's
what
really good. It's
like, we love it.
And it doesn't like make you feel awful. Okay, like,
no.
It's no, great. It gives you a lot of the same energy, we think, but like not, it's not as harsh, I guess. But this is like our—
not that harsh edge.
Yeah. It's our essential like set drink. And then we have all these ridiculous jokes about it.
Jesus Christ.
Take it easy.
Well, cheers, guys.
Cheers. Thanks
for the gift. Thanks for coming out.
Justin and Eric of Indie Mobile, Indie Machines. Check out their Kickstarter for Double Digits. Support their Kickstarter for Double Digits, because we certainly will be. Mm-hmm. But until next time, everybody, thank you guys for stopping by. Dez, Dolly, Matt Arnold, and Freddie Wong here.
Can I say Benji?
Benji, I know. I wanted you guys to chime in.
Yeah. Well, that is awesome.
We are
goodbye. Benji, it was a pleasure to have you guys here.
Our producer in the corner. And, of course, Alex Reeves, Point Blue Studios, mixing the sound. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, Stees.
Thank you.
We'll Stees you next time.